Christian girl who was cute, he thought, and he wanted to meet her, so we started going to church and doing the church thing, and then they started dating, and they got married, and for 5 years, he was going to church and every Sunday and being a part of things, and in the war in Vietnam, his oldest brother, my dad had a very rough childhood, and he had one brother that was nice to him, and it was his oldest brother who was 10 years older than him, and Ted, Uncle Ted. And the year, just right around the time that I was born, Uncle Ted was killed in Vietnam. His helicopter was going. There was a line of helicopters providing ground cover, and the one right next to him was shot, and as it was going down, it went into his helicopter, and everybody from both helicopters were killed. And to say the least, it was an unbelievably difficult trial for everyone. And for my dad, who would really put my uncle on a pedestal and looked so up to him and kind of looked at him as the one that he wanted to aspire and be like, and here he was killed. And at that point, my dad said, as he was religious at this time, he hadn't made a decision for Jesus, but he'd been going to church and he'd been checking it out and he'd been looking at things as the possibility of maybe this is for him. He sees what happens to his brother and he blames God. He still believes in a creator God, in the creator God of the Bible. He's a statistics professor, so of course he knows that even one cell existing without a creator is statistically impossible and ridiculous. The kind of information that's in that. But where does he go with this trial, with this struggle? At that point, he stopped and he not only stopped going to church, he pulled away from the family and he changed how he dealt with everyone. He changed drastically. He went into a deep, deep, dark pit. And for many, many years, he didn't get out of the darkness. And after about 5-6 years, he started to get socially out, but spiritually and relationally in the family, he was stuck there. He was stuck. Guys, as we talk about trials and temptations, trials and struggles that you go through, these are not just little stories that are kind of nice for a Sunday. This is truth which, if whether we choose to receive it or not, will change how we live. It will change whether we move forward or get stuck in the past, stuck in the hurt, stuck in the brokenness, stuck in the destruction. And after talking about consider it pure joy last week to face when you face trials of many kinds, because it leads to perseverance and it leads to maturity and wisdom and blessing. And now we get into this, and it says in verse 5 of James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. I don't want to be a double-minded man. I don't want to continue on. You know, so often as children, we see things from our parents. We see things and we experience hurts. And we make the vows, don't we? I'm never going to be like that. I'm never going to be like that. I'm never going to allow that kind of pain and brokenness and destruction to become a part of my life. And whatever that pain and brokenness is that you guys have experienced, many of you have made that vow. I'm going to be different. And I promise you one thing. If you try and be different in your own strength, you will become what you hated all those years. You will become what broke you, what destroyed you, what discouraged you. Because we don't have the answers in ourselves. You know, last Wednesday, we had just a great time and great discussion, and one of the things we're talking about was healing, being healed. And God not only wants to physically heal, He wants to emotionally, relationally, spiritually heal. He wants to deal with the whole person. And He wants to come in and bring unbelievable blessings. Guys, if we go in our own wisdom of what God is going to do and how God is going to do it, we're going with man's wisdom, and we'll be double-minded. We'll be double-minded. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must not doubt. The word for doubting here, I love this. I got this from Jim this week. I thought this was fascinating. The word here for doubt, it literally means to always be sifting, measuring, and weighing. Think about that. To always be. It's the kind of doubt that you can't make a decision. You're sifting, you're measuring, you're weighing, and you never move forward because of doubt. So you're always contemplating. We could do this or we could do this. I could, and because you're sifting, measuring, and you're always here. I have a friend in ministry in Uganda, and he had things didn't go as he planned when he was a missionary with the same mission group that we were part of. He didn't find a way to work within the leadership. And anytime you're bringing Ugandans, Americans, people from England and Europe all together, we found working with the cultures of Uganda was much easier than working with those who were from England. That was a really challenging culture to work in, because my friend, he would always say, you Americans, you always think everything's going to work out. And it does. And it's so annoying. He goes, we Brits, we know we're going to fail and we succeed in our failure. We know how to fail and we do it well. And we own it. We don't expect to succeed. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But there's, you know, there's all these different cultures. There's all these different, and we're coming together. And he couldn't find a way to work within the system of the leadership we had. And it was tough at times. There are things that I would do so differently and things that the other person would do differently than what I would have done and what they were doing. And so my friend kept trying to decided, you know what, I'm going to peel away and I'm going to do my thing. And he tried this thing over here for a couple months and it didn't work. And so then the letters go out as he's overseas. And actually, I'm going to try this. And then the letters go out to those who are supporting him. And we're actually going to serve over here doing this. And then a few months later, new letters go out. We're actually going to spend years and years and years, almost 10 years, going from ministry to ministry to ministry, overseas on the mission field. And people were kind of getting their heads spun by, man, I don't know what to, what's the ministry now? It's changing. Guys, when we're double-minded, when we're seeking to do things our way, and then it doesn't go how we want, and so we start something new, man, It's that indecision. And the challenge is, how do you stay with something when it's difficult? How do you stay with something when it's difficult? 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19 say, "Do not deceive yourself, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." See, man's wisdom is foolishness to God. We don't have the answers, guys. We don't. As we're looking for wisdom, as we are asking for wisdom, first of all, we have to understand we're asking for what we don't have any of. God's wisdom is not man's wisdom. Man's wisdom makes logical sense. God's wisdom blows logic out of the water. I'm a logical person. I love logic. A equals B equals C. I can fit. You know, that's why math is so beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful. You can know what's coming. It's incredible. And all that joy in knowing what's coming when we come to God needs to be set aside. And it says we're to ask God, and it says, if any of you lacks, and just a thought, that's not for the person next to you. When there's almost a sarcasm here. You know, if any of you lack wisdom, in other words, hey, you, you, and you, and even you. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all. And here it is, without finding fault. Guys, how good is this good news? You know what this means? It means we can come to God in honesty and he doesn't find fault with us. See, one of the reasons we seek man's wisdom is because we come to God with lies. We come to him with what we're supposed to say, what we're supposed to think, and what we're supposed to do. I can just see God saying, okay, here they're coming to me, and they're saying these pretty things up front. Do they not realize I know their heart and mind more than they do? And we speak our Christianese, and we say what we're supposed to say, and it's saying, no, come to God honestly, he won't find fault. Come like those who write the Psalms do. Come in your brokenness. Come in your junk. Lay it all before God. God, you know me. You know the mess here. I mean, you really get it. I might not fully get it, but you get it. I need help. I need supernatural help. I don't have the answers. And God, who gives generously without finding fault. He doesn't say, you did what? And now you want help. Right. No. Without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, and here's the reality. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. And remember, not doubt, not get stuck in measuring and weighing everything. And here we go. And I can't come to a decision. You know what? If God is leading, he's going to lead you forward, not stuck. Not leading you into the muck. Now, this is something that I've seen over and over. Has anybody ever felt like they've trusted God, sought him out, saw his wisdom, moved forward, they took a couple steps in faith, and all of a sudden things are not going well? all of the disciples. See, God's wisdom doesn't lead us into, you know, perfect situations. God's wisdom leads us into life that is difficult, and often we're going in for what God is doing in us. Often we're going in for what God is doing through us, in others. Usually both, and more stuff. And so here we are on this journey. And here I'm stepping out in faith, and oh, it's so great, and wham! Stepping out in faith. They come and they come hard. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Have you ever seen the wave of the sea? I love being by the water. And the wave is coming. As the tide is coming, the wave's coming in. But as the wind's hitting, you've got water going every which way direction. You've got some splashing forward over the top. You've got it hitting and bouncing back. You've got some that's getting caught up by the wind and going spraying, some forward, some backward. You've got this chaos the closer you get to the water. One of the things I did, it was an interesting thing. I was out with Tessa in the at Long Beach, and it wasn't during the summer, so it was pretty cold in the ocean. And as the waves were coming up, we were standing together, and she was freaking out. And I was like, it's hitting my waist almost, and why is she so... And I thought, you know what? I want to see this from a different perspective. I got on my knees, and I was about the same height. All of a sudden, the waves are coming here. All of a sudden, I see things from, and it's chaos from a different perspective. Guys, sometimes what we're seeing is not necessarily what others are seeing and experiencing. And so we need to have a whole lot of grace, a whole lot of mercy. We need to be willing to, to trust God with ourselves and others in the midst of the storm. It's hard to trust God, guys, because it means I don't get to be the one who decides what's right and wrong. I don't get to be the one who's the strength of my life. It says, that man should not think he will receive. The one who asks but doubts, who doesn't believe but doubts. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The reason he won't receive it is because he's not moving forward in it. Because he's stuck weighing and considering. And does God want this or does God, or should I do this or should I, you know, however we put it. And we don't move. God wants us to move forward in faith. That he's going to be leading. And it means taking that step of faith, not just for the point of salvation in justification, coming to Jesus once and for all, but in continuing to walk out in faith, to live out our faith. And as we move forward, it's going to require the same heart set, which is, I can't trust me. I don't have the answers in me. God has the answers. I'm going to trust him. Guys, human wisdom, it is extremely beneficial for a short period of time. You want to get rich? Human wisdom. You want to be a success in this world? You want to have power and authority? Human wisdom is your answer. But what this scripture is talking about, when the trials come, and they will come. The strongest, most prideful of men and women come challenging the world. And then, what about a health issue? What about when the guy who has been so successful and everyone answers to him loses what he has and becomes the one standing in a line looking for something, the one who had so much? See, man's wisdom is temporary. And at best, it's temporary for this life. The best case scenario is you're going to have a blink of being successful and eternity apart from the blessings of God. That's the best man can do. Is a blink of an eye, of look at me, and eternity, oh, crumb. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Unstable in everything. In everything. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You know what? We're jars of clay. What happens if you drop a jar of clay? It breaks. See, it can hold things. It can move great amounts of stuff. It can accomplish great things, but it's fragile. It's also temporary. We have great jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. See, the challenges will come. The storms will come. The junk will come. The pain will come. I promise you it's coming. We live in a broken world. We're sinful. We've got the flesh. We've got the enemy of God who's crafty and scheming and good at what he does and stronger than you and I, but not stronger than Christ Jesus. And we, in faith, by grace, have victory with Christ in what he has done for us. So we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Think about that. Perplexed, but not in despair. Wouldn't it be great to live in that truth? Perplexed. The challenges come, but you're not in despair. Guys, that's a choice that we make. Okay, so let's see if that's true. Because it sounds really spiritual. It sounds really good. But what about the reality of when the rubber meets the road in everyday life and the death of a loved one happens, or that you hear the word cancer, or you hear this, or you hear... What about... That's when it becomes... Most, when it comes completely true, when the truth is so overwhelming, it's what you cling to for breath, or it becomes our undoing. We start trusting ourselves, we start blaming God, and then we're perplexed. But when we grab on and don't be double-minded and don't hold on to the wisdom of this world. See, the wisdom of this world even puts a little religion in it. The wisdom of this world loves religion. Loves religion. You're suffering. You've got this disease. You've got the sickness. You've got a loved one who's hurting or dying or dead. What did you do? Because you better repent of this, otherwise God's going to bring more harm on you. Did you hear the wrath of God? Sometimes we hear this coming out of the mouths of Christians. We become God when we make statements like that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Guys, if someone's suffering, I mean, think of Job and how his friends tried to help. They just messed up a bad thing. What did you do, Job? You must have done something, brother. Guys, we don't have to fear the trial or the test, because we can trust God in the midst of it. It doesn't mean we're excited when the tests and trials come. It means we're excited about God being with us in the midst of the trial. That we're secure and not double-minded. And maybe we start to... But guys, even when we start to go in the wrong direction, we can stop at any point. No matter how long. Maybe it's been a day that you've been living according to the lie. Maybe it's been a decade. Maybe it's been even longer. But at any point in faith, you can stop being double-minded and trusting your own wisdom in the situation. And they did this to me, and so I... Man. At any point, we can stop and turn and trust God. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful if you've got it all figured out. Be careful if you've just, you know what? I've arrived. I'm ready for anything. Really, anything. Well, we'll see. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And here's good news. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. I love that. Because at times when you're going under, when you're in the midst of the trial, you feel like I'm all alone. Nobody understands what it's like to be me. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. See, the enemy wants us to have those thoughts, to believe those lies. The enemy is one who tries to distract, one who tries to scheme, one who tries to come in with anything to not deal with the truth. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. I love that. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. There's nothing that you're going through, not only that others don't understand, that God himself doesn't understand because we serve a suffering Savior, but there's nothing that you're going through that doesn't have a way to be okay. So let me ask you this. What about death? Death seems pretty final. Think about this, guys. Robert, you shared at Bible study. I love what Pastor Hutch had taught you about his cancer. If through or... Yes. Can you share that? I'm blanking on...
You that knew Pastor Hutch from Antioch Bible Church, he used to say he had cancer for 12 years before he went home. And he used to always say to us in the group, and he would say it publicly, he would say...
Can't hear you.
That's what I said. Pastor Hutch had cancer for 12 years before he went home to be with the Lord. And one of the things that he would say publicly as well as privately...
Yeah, he's turning on right now.
Is that... cancer had become his pastor. Grasp that for a moment. Cancer had become his pastor. And he would say, I will be delivered from cancer. I will either be delivered from cancer or through cancer. But I will be delivered. So either he was going to be healed or he was going home to be healed.
Amen.
But one way or the other, he was going to be healed.
Amen. Not even death, right? Thank you, Robert. Not even death. Not even death. God heals. God moves. Guys, we expect so little from God. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. See, the reason we can stand up under the weight is because we're not the ones holding the weight up. See, we get crushed easy. But when we've got the one who created all that we see, who's the maker of the universe, any weight is nothing for him. Whether it's a physical weight, emotional weight, spiritual weight, relational weight. No one comes to the Father except through him. It's all about him. So guys, I didn't get as far as I wanted to get. The good news is we got four more verses. I want to end with this. Back to where I began with a story with my father. The reason I want to share this is not just because of with my father and his brother and because of Memorial Weekend, and that's a part of it. But when my dad got caught in the anger of God not saving his brother, and my dad walked away from faith, still to this day, he walked away from religious faith at that point. But to this day, he's unwilling to move forward. He had three sons, myself, my two brothers. My two brothers were here not that long ago. Most of you met them. Our family history I've shared in the past is ugly. Abuse, murder. Mass killings. The Shurak history line is an ugly one. The further you go back, the uglier it gets. With the last one that we know of being one who led in the Church of Satan. And you've got this junk that keeps going from generation to generation. My brothers all know Jesus. Because my mother was not double-minded. She was willing to experience hell on earth and trust God in the midst of it. And her sons and her grandchildren love the Lord. A line gets broken. Things change. Family history and destiny changes. Legacy changes. Why? Because one person is willing to not be double-minded, to trust God. Guys, we're called to stand in the gap ourselves, aren't we? Where do you need to stand? At home, at work, where do you need to stand? When your friends are doing stuff that you used to do, and there's the trial, the desire to be, well, just this once. Just, this is the last time. And that double-minded comes in, and rather than saying, I'm a child of God, I don't need that junk anymore. That was my old life. Whatever that is, I mean, guys, it's different for everyone here. For some of you, it's just, I don't even want to go into the details because there's so many possibilities of what it could be. But when we trust God and grab onto him and say, you know what, I'm not going to use my logic, my way of thinking through this. I'm going to trust God in the midst of this. And when we're broken and we go to our knees, guys, we need to go to our knees a whole lot more. We need to pray hard. When indecision comes, pray hard. I promise you one thing, you'll make tons of mistakes. I know I do. You'll make bad decisions. At times you'll want to do the right thing and you'll do the wrong thing. At other times you'll want to do the wrong thing and you'll choose to do the wrong thing. Because you just don't want to trust God with that area of your life. Because that one's too comfortable. That one's too big. That one's too much of what you know. That one's too much of who you are. That one's so much of who you are, it's your false identity. And you're trusting that false identity is what gets you through. How many people do you know? Well, that's just the way I am. Take it or leave it. Well, God says, leave it. And have your new identity in me. That's the identity in Christ Jesus. My junk is his. His righteousness is mine. It's a good trade, guys. I remember being in fourth grade and trading marbles. And one time I had this really, I didn't know what it was worth. I was taken back because my one marble got me, I think it got me like 50 or 60, if I remember correctly. It was a whole lot. When you're a kid, it was just a whole pile of marbles. I thought, that's a good trade. But it wasn't a good trade. I could have gotten like 500 marbles from another friend because this marble was so valuable, so rare, I didn't know what I had. I made a bad trade. I thought I made a good trade. You guys want to make a great trade and find out later at the end of your time here on earth that you made a fabulous trade? Trust God and give him your junk and receive his righteousness by faith through grace. Yes. Guys, I promise you one thing. God's wisdom looks from the outside wrong. It does. It doesn't make sense, humanly speaking. You want to receive, give. What? No, if I want to receive, take. If I want more, you have more. I don't have more. I get from you more. Now, you can either give it to me or I can hurt you by taking it. But I'm going to get more. That's man's wisdom. And it's ugly. And we're seeing it around the world right now, aren't we? We're seeing it in our own country. I want, you have. But it's not just in those things that we can see on the news. It's in here. It's in our hearts. It's in our own minds. It's corrupting us at times. Corrupting how we think. See, as believers, we get this joyous thing. We get to give up our rights. We get to, rather than be proven right and state our claim, we get to come to that same place and say, forgive me. I'm sorry. We want to stake that claim. I was right. We get to stake the claim of, I'm sorry, forgive me. We take our rights and we set them down as Christ set them. Do you think Christ deserved to die on the cross, the only one without sin? And we get his righteousness. And guys, that's what we move forward in, is his righteousness. And it's mind-boggling because God's economy is different than man's. God's wisdom is different than man's. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. I do not want to be that man today. I know I've been that man at times in days past. I want to stay with that kind of thinking. I don't want to get caught there. And I know we don't want to, do we? Let's not be double-minded. Let's not be unstable. Let's have a good foundation. Let's be ready for what's ahead of us in Christ Jesus. Because as we're ready in him, we're ready for anything. And nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Let's close in prayer. God, you are truly, truly amazing. Father, you are working in ways that we have no clue that you're working. In the struggle that my brothers and sisters are going through right now, that I'm going through, that my family's going through, that their families and loved ones and friends are going through, Lord. You are working in ways that we don't see. You are not just interested in the physical, but you're interested in the whole person. Lord, I'll never forget that beautiful prayer of the woman who was suffering so that I heard her say, Lord, let me suffer well. Let me suffer in a way that brings glory to you. Lord, we desire to suffer well. We desire to see you move in our suffering, to see you redeem, to see you heal, to see you bless, to see you do things that are so much greater than what we are hoping for and praying for. Lord, if our physical suffering brings spiritual blessing, then bring it. If there's eternal blessing from temporary physical struggles, praise God. So, Lord, we pray that through all the challenges that we are facing, Lord, that you would be blessing because we would be turning to you. Lord, help us see your hand in the midst of the trial. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be hindsight 2020 Christians. Oh, there was God's hand at work. Oh, there, I see what he was doing. Lord, I pray that we would be not necessarily seeing what you're doing in the midst, but trusting what you're doing in the midst of the trial. Trusting you, even when it looks like it's too much. And Lord, that we would remember we're not going through anything new, and we're not going through anything greater than what we can find victory in you. Nothing is greater than your love, than your death, burial, resurrection, ascension, preparation, and the hope we have in when you come and bring us home where there is no more suffering and junk and pain, exhaustion, disappointment, no more. Lord, we desire truth. We desire to live in the truth and be empowered by the truth of your word. We desire to live in that power because in you we are more than conquerors. In you, you have conquered. You have done the work, and it is finished. And we hold on to that truth. You did it, and it is finished. So we have life, Lord. Lord, change our lives by changing us from the inside out, by changing us in our identity. Lord, I pray that more and more the schemes and the lies of the enemy would be seen for what they are. This happened, that happened, he said, she said. Years ago pain, pain from today, anger, bitterness, frustration. Lord, all the stuff that the enemy is trying to bring in and cause dissension and disunity and discouragement and brokenness, Lord. We claim truth, your truth. Father, thank you for what you have done. We choose to believe the truth of your word and to be set free as we are in step with your Holy Spirit by faith through grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.